This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, look, not much for the Knicks. For anyone, I'm not going to repeat myself over for what I've said so far. There hasn't been too much news, but I have just started recording. So this one will come in a bit late. But I've just touched on some of the early news and only covered one game. So second game of the night was the Nets beating the Pistons. Pistons actually led here for a while. And really, it was just Kevin Durant. He was the difference with 51 points. No James Harden. He was out resting. James Johnson came into the starting lineup, didn't do anything. Just a deep league guy, and honestly, coming off the bench is probably better for him anyway. Cam Thomas saw some additional run and had 13 points. A name to watch in deeper leagues. His minutes have been sort of slowly trending up, so I would just monitor what he's doing. And Nick Claxton played 23 minutes, but didn't do much. 4 defensive stats, which is nice. But I don't think you can rely on that. So, again, more of a deeper league guy. You just want to be keeping an eye on him. Patty Mills is still putting up 12-team value, back in 12-team value anyway, until Joe Harris returns. For the Pistons, so like we said, Jeremy Grant is out for 6 weeks. So figuring out what they're going to do here. Hamidou Diallo moved into the starting lineup, but was pretty ordinary. I'm not sold on him as a 12-team guy. I think I'd rather take flyers on other players. Saben Lee was really good in this one. He did get some increased minutes because Killian Hayes went down with a recurrence of his thumb injury. He returned to the game, but, I mean, this is something that's been lingering for a month now, 6 weeks. So I'm not sure what they do with him, if they just keep rolling him out there and hoping that he plays through it, or whether they actually decide to sort of get him out and give him a couple of weeks rest. So Saben Lee is actually probably a name you could take a flyer on him in 12-team leagues. Deeper leagues, I'd definitely be going and grabbing him just in case. But even in a 12-team league, if you've got a vacant roster spot there or you can slide someone into an IR spot, I would just pick him up and see what happens, because we've seen this before. He is a good player. He was really good in the G League when he played in the G League. So absolutely worth a look there. Not really anyone else that I'm sort of targeting as a pickup, but it's pretty clear that Cade Cunningham's going to be awesome from here out. He's going to get plenty of minutes. He's going to just basically have a green light to do whatever he wants. So he'll be the biggest beneficiary, I think, but obviously he frosted everywhere already. The third game of the night was Dallas and the Thunder. So even without Doncic, Dallas won pretty easy in this one, which not at all surprising. Jalen Brunson came into the starting lineup and was good. We know what he does when Doncic is out. And look, honestly, he's a 12-team league guy anyway, so he shouldn't be available. If he is, go and grab him, but he shouldn't be. Dorian Finney-Smith is an intriguing sort of 12-team guy. He's not going to put up a lot of points, but as you can see here, he just puts up numbers across the board. Finished with 8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 2 threes. So, I mean, you can't ask for much more than that. The shooting was off a little bit, but other than that, he plays, his minutes are sort of right in line with Doncic on most nights. So his role is just locked in, and I would really consider adding him in 12-team leagues, especially roto formats. He's really going to help you in roto formats. Moses Brown's an interesting name here. So he ended with 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal in 20 minutes. Now, he's better than Willie Cauley-Stein. He's better than Boban. He should be getting more of these backup minutes, and that could be the way they're going to go here. It was a blowout, so that you need to sort of factor that in before getting too excited. Maxi Kleber also had a pretty good game with 16 and 7, his best game in quite a while, and he played 30 minutes. So look, there's things that you've got to weigh up here before making a move. I wouldn't be adding any of those guys in standard leagues at the moment. I would wait for Doncic to come back, although he is going to miss the next game at least. They're hoping to have him back Wednesday, I think. So, yeah, look, I mean, if you want to grab him for one game, then fine. But long term, I really don't see much there. For the Thunder, it was a mess again, as it is with most games. Lou Dort actually went down with an injury in this one. So that's probably something that we need to look at. Who soaks up the minutes? I don't know. Theo Maledon started, but only played 13 minutes. So he's probably not the guy to look at. It's probably, for me, going to be Kenrich Williams or Alexei Pokuševski. Both played around 23 minutes. Poku had his best game of the season. So he was sort of a name at the beginning of the season that people were a bit enamored with. They were thinking, well, let's just see if he gets minutes. We know he can block shots, hit threes, grab some boards. So if he can get 25, 26 minutes a night, he might be a name just worth watching in standard leagues. I wouldn't be going and grabbing him just yet, but just keep an eye on what his minutes look like if Dort misses time. We don't have word on how serious that injury is, but we know the Thunder are going nowhere. So if Dort's even got a slight niggle, they're going to rest him. Fourth game was the Spurs getting over the Pels pretty easily. It was only 15 points, but it was sort of a fairly comfortable victory. For the Pelicans, Josh Hart was really good with another double-double, but he's rostered everywhere, so not much to talk about there. Kyle Alexander-Walker, with Kira Lewis out, he's going to be getting more minutes, I think. He hasn't been very good this year. I think he's something like a top 150 player or something, so not even really a 12-teamer, but if he's going to be getting 30 minutes a night, he's probably worth picking up, but you just need to factor in that he's going to kill your field goal percentage and doesn't really do a lot outside of scoring. You might get the odd steal, but not a ton of upside there, but worth a look. And much the same with Devontae Graham, who's been pretty disappointing. He's going to get more minutes as well. So both of those guys are okay, but I wouldn't sort of consider them names that you need to sort of run out and grab. For the Spurs, pretty balanced attack here. As I said, it was a reasonably comfortable win, so they were able to get a couple of their bench guys the minutes at the end. Derek White was really good in this one. I'm pretty happy with his numbers over the last 2 weeks. After sort of riding him, I've got him in multiple teams. I must have him in 4 or 5 teams, I think, and after the first month, 6 weeks, where he was just destroying my field goal percentage, and it was getting pretty frustrating. It's been really nice the last couple of weeks, so hopefully he can keep this up. Could be a bit of a sell high moment if you aren't sort of convinced, like me, that he can keep it up. And look, he won't be this good, obviously, but yeah, look, if you did want to try and shift him, but I wouldn't be sort of taking anything less than a top 50, top 40 player for him. Jakob Poeltl, really good again. He's had a good season, as long as you're punting free throws. Devin Vassell is probably a name that people are wondering, what do we do? He hasn't been super convincing since coming back from injury, but I think his minutes will pick up. And look, I mean, he didn't shoot the ball well here. If he makes four or five shots instead of one, and he ends up with 10 points, three rebounds, two blocks, two assists, one steal, that's a really good line. So I think his minutes will go up. I think his shot will come back a little bit. So I would be adding him if he's available anywhere. I understand the frustration, but I would just give it a week, because he's going to be – he should be. I mean, Greg Popovich is a smart guy and a good coach, so common sense would tell you that Vassell's going to start taking some of those Lonnie Walker minutes eventually, and hopefully get up to, 26, 28 minutes, which is all he needs. So the fifth game, click into the right tab. The Wolves, with D'Angelo Russell back on the floor, accounted for the Blazers. Pretty close game for the Timberwolves. As I said, Russell was back and had a pretty good night, all things considered. Didn't shoot the ball a lot, but just did enough. And I think what's probably more obvious is just how important he is to the team. He was a plus 20, team best plus 20, in a game they won by 5 points. So that sort of tells you just how important he is on the floor, or at least was in this game. Beverly still played 34 minutes, even with D'Angelo back, so he needs to be added everywhere. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. That's what he's going to do. 3 of 10 is actually pretty bad for him. He'll normally be up around 50% from the field, so you'd expect better there. Vanderbilt was really good again. Only 8 rebounds, but had 14 points, 3 steals and a block on 6 of 8 shooting in 31 minutes. So he's locked in as that power forward, and while the usage drops when all their guys are back, he doesn't need usage. So I actually like it when they're running at full strength like this. I actually think he's going to be more valuable on those nights compared to when they're short or down players. So for the Blazers, we had Larry Nance moving into the starting lineup with Rob Covington going to the bench. So Nance is an add. You need to go and add him. This was an okay game, I guess. I wouldn't call it a sort of a mind-blowing performance, but 8 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists and a block, pretty good, especially when you compare it to what he has been doing. 26 minutes is encouraging. Covington still played 34 minutes off the bench and only had 3 points, but had 5 steals and 4 blocks. So this could actually work if it sticks, if this move sticks for a while. Actually benefit both players. I think Covington coming off the bench is just going to get rack up the defensive stats, and Larry Nance playing alongside better players like Lillard, Powell and McCollum when he's back will help him as well. And on Lillard, he came back and played 37 minutes. I think we can assume that he's back and he's healthy. Be interesting to see what they do with back-to-backs, whether they do take it easy and rest him for a few weeks on back-to-backs, but we'll have to wait and see. His shooting was pretty ordinary, 30% from the floor, 21% from three, and oddly 73% from the line. So that'll all turn around. We know what he can do and how good a shooter he is, so I wouldn't stress there. Nasir Little is probably another name. Look, he was okay. He started, had 10 points, 2 rebounds and a block in 20 minutes, but really just a deep league player. And Dennis Smith, who people were potentially holding on to just to see what happened, he played 4 minutes. So he is a drop. And finally on that team, on the Blazers, Anthony Simons, 33 minutes. With him back and Lillard back, Smith just didn't play. So Simons, I would be adding everywhere. He had 6 triples. Doesn't do much else outside of scoring, but he led the team with 20 field goal attempts. So he's obviously got that green light to shoot the ball. So I'd be adding him anywhere that he's available. And last game of the night, the Lakers got over the Magic. Again, it was reasonably comfortable. Only 12 points in the end, but the Lakers got out pretty early and held on. For the Magic, not a lot sort of out of the ordinary, other than Mo Bamba going down with injury. So no word yet on whether he's going to miss time. If he does, it could be Robin Lopez time, which we are saying that. You wouldn't think we're saying that this season, but Robin Lopez is actually a really fun fantasy player to own. I'm not sure if it's just the hair or just his energy on the court. It's just a lot of fun. So if Bamba is out, and they want to keep Wendell Carter at the four like they have been, which would make sense, I think, to keep Terrence Ross coming off the bench, Robin Lopez could come in and play. He only needs 24 minutes, and he'll definitely be a deep league guy and could even be a 12 back end 12 team guy as well. Chuma Okeke is probably the other one we want to watch there. They could potentially move Wendell Carter center and then start Okeke. So just keep an eye on what they're going to do if Bamba misses time. I mean, this game was, as I mentioned, the Lakers were sort of well in control, so they probably took it easy, and Bamba no doubt will want to be on the floor, so he'll be doing everything he can to get back out there. But finally, for the Lakers, Horton Tucker was pretty good in this one. You have to factor in the opposition. The Magic aren't an elite team by any means, so career high 6 steals. He's not going to do that every night, but I think he probably should be rostered just with his role. There was no Anthony Davis here, which helped. He's in that starting five every night, and will get you a steal or two and a few threes, and then generally chips in some other stats. So won't be this good, but he is a 12 team player, 12 team guy. Carmelo Anthony had 13 points off the bench, but really just a point streamer, a deep league guy. Dwight Howard started, had 5 defensive stats, but didn't do much else. He's okay. I mean, if you want to stream him in, but I don't think he's going to have any sustained value, especially once Anthony Davis comes back there. So just jumping into the chat. The names that people dropped in, Terrence Davis. Terrence Davis didn't play today, obviously. Let's just have a look if the...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
If the Kings play tomorrow, I haven't looked that far ahead. Yes, they do. So, look, Terrence Davis is an interesting one. I was hoping that he would stick in the starting lineup or he'd at least get minutes, but it doesn't look that way from just based on what we saw, at least in the last game. I'd probably be holding just for one more game just to see what happens, whether if he only plays 17 minutes again, he's a drop. But if he gets back up to 25, 26, then he might be a hold. It's so hard to know what the Kings are going to do. So if you can hold him, I'd be holding one more game, but I wouldn't blame you for dropping him either. TJ Warren is another name. He's sort of a forgotten player, I guess. We haven't really heard much about his recovery and where he's at in terms of a specific timeline. So I'd probably be I'm not stashing him anywhere. I had him in a couple of leagues. I drafted him and I dropped him a month ago. I don't see it for him. I wouldn't be stashing him anywhere unless you have 3 IR spots or something like that. But if you only have one, we've seen all the health and safety player absences so far. You're going to need your IR spot for something else, or someone else. I'd just be dropping him. D. Young or D. Mitchell. So I'm assuming that's Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell in terms of rest of season. I don't know where they're sitting at the moment. I know Donovan Mitchell's having a really good year. So Donovan Mitchell's the 10th ranked player at the moment. And I mean, you look at his numbers. I actually was looking at his numbers last night. They're not that different from what he's done in the past. Number, the one category that stands out is steals. So he's up at 1.7 steals, which would easily be a career high. If that comes down to 1.3, 1.4, he drops back to sort of be the 25th ranked player. So he's 10th at the moment. I doubt he sticks there. I think he drops back probably around by the end of the season. Trae Young is right there with him. He's the 12th ranked player. So they're very comparable in terms of rank. I actually think Trae's production is a little bit more sustainable. He's not doing anything that, in theory, you think he could maintain this. 26 points, 9.5 assists. He could do that. 2.7 threes, that's fine. 45%. Maybe that drops off a little bit, but I think that's probably okay. So I actually think if you had to pick one of them in terms of maintaining what they're doing now, I think Trae Young would be the one for me. Nick Batum, look, hard one. He was really good before he went down with injury, but with COVID protocols. Since he's come back, he hasn't done much. He's now out injured. I'm okay moving on from him in a 12-team league. He'll probably will end up sort of a top 100, top 120 player. But he's really built for roto. Like in a head-to-head, he's not going to help you massively in any one category. So I'm okay with moving on from him. Marcus Morris is playing really well. Brandon Boston looks good as well. So I'm okay with moving on from him. I dropped him in one league, and the guy that picked him up is getting frustrated with him, and I think we'll probably end up dropping him. Last name we had in there was Lillard. I touched on Lillard. Look, he'll be better than what he was tonight, but even after that absence, it was really just his shooting tonight that was down. So Lillard, where is he at the moment in terms of ranking? Dark here, I can't even see. So he's the 46th ranked player at the moment, which is obviously, it's not where you want him to be. Concern for him, I suppose, is this injury seems to be something that has been there for a while and could continue to be there. I'd be okay with moving on from him, but you'd want to get a top 15 player for him. You wouldn't want to be getting anything less than that. If you can get a top 15 player for him, then that would be fine. If someone's offering you a top 30 player, I probably wouldn't. Are some more names. Okay. Jalen Brunson, must roster guy. I mean, without Doncic, obviously, he's clearly a must roster. But even in terms of when the Mavericks are full strength, Brunson's 130th ranked player this season. And I actually think he's probably underperformed a little bit. I think he could get up a little bit there to be in the top 120, top 115. Kevin Huerter, again, he's a must roster player at the moment, just while Andre Hunter's out. He's been a bit up and down, so I would have Brunson over Huerter. If you had to pick, if you were looking at those two, I'd have Brunson pretty clearly over Huerter. But Huerter, probably for the next, 2-3 weeks at least, he's going to be a 12-team guy. Kelly Oubre, you're looking at selling high on him. I know he's been, I was looking at the rankings last night or something, he's been a top 10 player over the last couple of weeks. So Rozier's back tomorrow, I think. PJ Washington could be back as well. So they're starting to get players back. He's going to shift back to a bench role. He's 84th on the season, which is, I mean, that even that it probably is exceeding what we thought he'd do this season. So if you could sell him off for a top 50 player, I'd be okay with doing that at the moment. I think once the Hornets are back and they've got LaMelo Ball back on the floor and they're healthy. I think Oubre probably falls outside the top 100, to be honest. So Cam Johnson's an interesting one. Actually got him in a league, and he's sort of one of these guys that you just put in your lineup and forget about him. So in that league, I forget that I've got him there, and then I look at his stats and go, oh, well, he's been pretty good. I'll just keep him there. And obviously having Booker out helps. Booker is still out, I think, at least for the next game, potentially the next couple. It's not like they need him on the floor. They're winning even without him. So Cam Johnson, I think you probably have to have him on a 12-team league, 12-team roster at the moment. Once they're healthy, where does he end up? Probably outside the top 150 once they're healthy. But I like him as a player, so I could see him being a top 120 player if everything sort of falls his way and he gets minutes. Over the last 2 weeks, he's a 70th ranked player, so he's not going to be that good. But last month, 135th. So somewhere in between there is sort of, I guess, viable. So a top 100, top 120 player. So probably a name just worth holding now and then wait and see what things look like when Booker comes back. So that's all the players for tonight. This one was a bit late because I was in the office. Tomorrow will be much the same because I won't be home from work till around this time again. So, but I will try to do it most nights. As long as I haven't got other things on, obviously Christmas is coming up. So yeah, look, thanks guys for listening, and I will catch you tomorrow. Thanks. Bye.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.